Okay. So we're going to talk about two things tonight, maybe three if we have the chance. They're not really related to each other. They're both tangentially related to Shavuos, which is coming up. Let's see where they go. So the first one, maybe we'll do the second topic first, the second topic on the sheets, the first one, which isn't so much about halachos, but actually about the meaning of borei nefashos. Borei nefashos is a bracha we say frequently, probably amongst bracha achrona the most frequently. So I wanted to talk about what it actually means. And I think we'll see three or four pshatim, each one which teaches us, I think, a very important lesson and one perhaps particularly relevant around this time. So the first is Tosfos. If you take a look at Tosfos, again, this is the first source on the second part of the sheet. Tosfos writes that borei nefashos is really comprised of two different things. The first one is borei nefashos rabos v'chasronan. That means that Hashem created many nefashos and that which they lack. So what does chesronam mean, that which they lack? So Tosfos explains, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. So we first thank God for the things that we need, for having creating the necessities of life. So things like bread and water. So we thank God for creating the necessities. Ve'al, might be his gear sub, ve'al kol ma she'bara l'chayos v'nefesh kol chai. In addition, he created the things that we need. Explains Tosfos, kelomar, al kol ma she'ba'olam, she'gam im lo b'ra yicholim ha'olam l'chayos b'lohem. He created all the things that we would be able to live just fine, even if we didn't have them. Shelo b'ra'an, ki im latainog be'alma. He only created them for tainog, for pleasure. Kemo tapuchim ukiyotze, like apples and the like. So the second half of the bracha, just one second, guys. Shh, shh. So he created basically, what are we saying in this bracha? Thank you, Hashem, for creating the necessities of life. And thank you, Hashem, for creating the luxuries of life. Maybe the idea of doing this in the dining room wasn't so good. I sorry about all the background noise. Usually I co-opt somebody's bedroom. Anyway, so
You're fine. So
okay, good. So we're thanking Hashem for creating the necessities of life and the luxuries of life, things that we don't need. I think it's a important idea. I think number one, we're not, this relates to the Torah's perspective on tainug, on things that we enjoy, right? Tainug here is not seen as the Yetzer Hara, something bad, something we should avoid. No, but it's something that warrants special appreciation. So borei nefashos, we sort of say borei nefashos on the things that are absolute necessities, like water. We also say borei nefashos on things that we enjoy. Tosis's example is apples, but whatever we enjoy and we don't need. And we have to have appreciation for that. That's the goal of this bracha. It's actually quite interesting that borei nefashos is, unlike the other brachos, does not refer specifically to the food we ate. In other words, me'ein shalosh, so if we had pre-hates, so we offer gratitude for pre-hates. If we had alamichia, so we offer gratitude for that. Here, it's a very general gratitude. We don't specifically refer to what we're referring to, but rather, instead, we thank God for two things. For creating us the things that we need to survive and creating the luxuries. Now, what about the end of the bracha? The end of the bracha is very strange because we say Baruch Chai Ha'olamim. Well, what does Baruch Chai Ha'olamim mean? Chasima or not? So I'll just give the background for this. So there are two types of brachos. There is what we call a bracha ktsara and a bracha aruka. A bracha ktsara is a short bracha that begins with a baruch, but doesn't end with a baruch, like shahakol, or mizonos, or berkos hamitzvos, like al netilos yadayim, or the like. Those are short brachos. Then we have what we call bracha aruka, long bracha. A bracha aruka always begins with a baruch and ends with a baruch. So al amechia is a bracha aruka. It begins with a baruch, and it ends with a baruch. Any longer bracha requires a psicha and a chasima. The exception to that is when it is a smucha l'chaverta. In other words, it's a longer bracha followed by a longer bracha. Then the second bracha, that which is smucha l'chaverta, doesn't need a bracha because it builds off of the previous bracha. So, for example, in benching, the first bracha is poseach b'barach v'chosim b'barach. The second bracha, which starts with no delcha, is not poseach b'barach. Why? It's smucha l'chaverta. The third bracha, which begins with rachem, is not poseach b'barach. Why? It's samach l'chaverta. Now, then you might ask, well, what about the fourth bracha, hatov ha-meitiv? That is also samach l'chaverta. The Gemara says, really, actually, you're right. That's an exception. Since hatov ha-meitiv is derabanan, whereas the first three brachos are de'oraisa, so we want to separate it from the previous brachos. That's why we say Amen after Bona Yerushalayim. In other words, even though normally a person does not make Amen after their own brachos, here we say Bona Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, Amen. And then, so as to highlight that this isn't actually the same as the previous, but something new, so we start Hatov HaMeitiv with Baruch. Then there's actually another problem, which is, okay, that's why we start Hatov HaMeitiv with Baruch. Why don't we end it with a Baruch? Because it sounds like a Baruch Aruka. And here, the Rishonim say, really, it is a bracha ktsara, because the whole bracha is really hatov ha-meitiv, but they added other embellishments to it, like hu heitiv, hu meitiv, hu yeitiv, but that's that. Okay, so what about bari nefashos? So Tosa says, well, we're not sure. Is bari nefashos a bracha ruka or bracha ktsara? The Yushalmi has chasima. In other words, based off of the Yushalmi, the conclusion of bari nefashos should be baruch ata Hashem, Chei ha'olamim. Not baruch chei ha'olamim, but baruch atah Hashem chei ha'olamim. But the Bavli doesn't mention a chasima. So Tosfos says, we're not sure. If the Bavli just left it out because it was just telling us the main words, so then we would accept the Yerushalmi and conclude with baruch atah Hashem chei ha'olamim. If, on the other hand, it's a Bavli is disagreeing with the Yerushalmi, so then the correct thing would be to have no chasima at all. So we don't know, chasima or no chasima. And therefore, Tosa says, safek brachos l'hakel, and we say it without a chasima. We don't say it with a chasima. Maybe this sort of depends on the interpretations that we're about to see on this bracha, meaning to say, if it long or short likely doesn't depend on how many words it is, but really it depends on whether it's one theme or multi-theme thematic. Like Rashi says, when you have a bracha that also has a bakasha in it, like Alamechia, which we have Rachem in the middle, so then it's multi-thematic, it gets a chasima here. Unclear. On the one hand, it's just saying thank you, but like we saw in Tosos, we're thanking Hashem for two different types of things. Thanking Hashem for our needs, thanking Hashem for our wants, for our luxuries. And therefore, we're unsure, we say Baruch Elamim. It's actually interesting. Some poskim say that because Baruch Elamim, we're only really throwing in misafek, so therefore, you would say Amen before Baruch Elamim. Because if you wait to say Amen after Baruch Elamim, then it's actually probably going to be too late past the ikar part of the bracha. Because really, from the fact that we leave out the shame, that shows that really, 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 we paskin that it doesn't have a chasima. Because if it needed a chasima, saying the chasima without the shame Hashem would be a chasima. So really, mikra din, the bracha ends with l'hachios pram nefesh kol chai, and therefore you should say amen immediately. I believe that's the view of Rav Moshe, though the minhag isn't that way. Okay, so that's the first pshat in bari nefashos. Thanking Hashem for the things that we need to survive, as well as the things that Hashem made for us to enjoy. Rashi, I think, has a different explanation. It's based off of a couple of Rashis, including what he says in something known as Siddur Rashi and Machzor Vitri, which is from the base medrash of Rashi, about the meaning of Bari Nefashos. Rashi writes that Bari Nefashos is built off the Pasuk, a Pasuk that we are familiar with, Ki lo al alechem levado yechia ha'adam, ki al kol motzafi Hashem yechia ha'adam. It's a Pasuk from Sefer Dvarim. So what does that Pasuk mean? A person doesn't just live on bread alone, but al kol motzafi Hashem yechia ha'adam. Based off of that, the word of God, we live. So what does that have to do with Bari Nefashos? So perhaps it means the following. We're thanking Hashem for both creating the basis of our material life, our physical needs, like bread. But we also say, lo alav al alechem levado yechia adam. It's not our life. We're not just dependent on physical needs, but also on spiritual needs. So that's the bracha. The first half of the bracha is Bari Nefashos Rabos V'Chasunan. Thank you, Hashem, for making my physical needs. We first thank Hashem for the things, our food, maybe not just food, air, other things that we need to live, sipukam, the things that we need. And then, and it's interesting, Nefashos Rabos, we'll talk a little bit more about that later, different, that we thank Hashem for making many people, Anashim Harbei, Nefashos Rabos, many souls. Al kol mashbar al hilslam neshkochai, and along with giving us the sipukam, the things that we need to physically live, we also thank Hashem for creating our spiritual needs. Al kol mashar bara l'chayos lahem nefesh kochai. That for chlios, for life, we need more than physical things. Humans can't just live, at least really live, if all we have is food, if all we have are physical needs. So we're thanking Hashem for giving us our physical nourishment and our spiritual nourishment. That's what the meaning of this bracha is. So here, different than Tosfos. Tosfos says we're thanking Hashem for that which we need to live and also pleasures. For Rashi, we're thanking Hashem for creating, giving us our physical needs, the food we need to live on, and also our spiritual needs. Ki lo al alechem levado yechia adam, ki al kol motzafi Hashem yechia adam. So I said before that I think bracha relates a lot to shvuos. How does it relate to shvuos? So obviously, if you follow Rashi's view, so that's pasha. On shvuos, we thank Hashem for giving us the Torah, giving us not just our physical needs, but our spiritual needs, but also for Tosfos. How so? There's a very famous idea that even though in all the other Yamim Tovim, so Reb Lazer is of the view that if a person wishes to spend all of Yantif in Avodas Hashem, he may. Kulo Hashem or Kulo Lachem. So you don't have to eat, or you certainly don't have to have nice meals. You could spend the whole day davening or learning or whatever it is. But on Shavuos, Dafka, we say everybody agrees you need Chatzi Lashem and Chatzi Lachem. You need to spend time also enjoying yourself, having good meals and good food and the like. And you could ask why. Like, if anything, I would have thought, Fakert, after all, Shavuos, the holiday of Yantif, of Matan Torah, so we should spend all of our time on good, on Torah, if you wish. But the one yantif that you can't spend the whole time learning is the holiday of Matan Torah. So the answer, you could say this in many ways, but part of the chiddush of Matan Torah is that all things could be used in Avodas Hashem, not just the physical, not just spiritual things that, were obviously spiritual. The halacha is, for example, that a B'nai Noach, non-Jews, could bring karbanos, but only a karban olah, which is entirely consumed. For B'nai Israel, we're able to bring a carbon shlamim, which is eaten partially, we're mekadesh the chol. We can, there's avodas Hashem, not just in learning Torah, doing mitzvos, but also in gashmias. There's avodas Hashem in gashmias. And we see that in the Pshat of Tosfos, because the Pshat of Tosfos is that there's a place for tainug in avodas Hashem. There's a place for pleasure. The Torah doesn't tell us to deny ourselves of all pleasure. Adarabba, enjoy it in the proper way, and then have a kar sato for it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it for us to enjoy, and that's what the Baracha Bar Nefashos is meant to highlight. So the third pshat that we're going to see in Bar Nefashos is from the Rashba. And there's a whole tshuva of the Rashba. I don't think we need to get into the details over here, but I want to just call your attention to the point that he makes at the end, which is that we're thanking Hashem for doing what? Shehu mevarech al shebar nefashos rabos shechaseros betzrichos lema shebara. What's bar nefashos rabos v'chasronam? He made many nefashos, many souls, many people. Great. But what's chasronam? He made them with chasronos. So why are we thanking Hashem for making us with chasronos? In other words, as opposed to the earlier pshatim, in which the chesronam means that he made us with chesrono, he was memale our chesronos. We have these chesronos, and we thank Hashem for being memale our chesronos. We have needs. We need food, and Hashem gave us food, so we thank Hashem for giving us the food that we need. Here, we're thanking Hashem for making us chaser. Well, why would we thank Hashem for making us chaser? What's so great about being chaser? The answer is that it is precisely our chasronos that make us allow for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're needy. We're dependent. And as such, we turn to Hashem in tefillah and the like. When you have two people that are totally self-sufficient. They don't need anything from anybody else. So they're unlikely to have a relationship. Because why do I need a relationship with someone if I'm totally self-sufficient, if I'm good on my own? But we're not. We're all chaser. We're chaser in different ways. We're chaser in terms of needing food to survive. But we're chaser emotionally. We're chaser spiritually. We have chesronos. And we're thanking Hashem for creating us with chesronos, because that too is the basis for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we weren't chaser, then we wouldn't really need God. It's interesting. There's a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that when Hashem wanted to give the Torah to the Jewish people, so the angels protested, why are you being mevaza tachzischa? Why are you disparaging, ruining your Torah, which is your most amazing thing? So that's what the angels protested. And Hashem calls on Moshe to defend this choice of giving the Torah to the Jewish people. He said, no, Moshe, you explain it. So Moshe gives an answer, famously says, you know, the Torah says don't steal. Do you guys have a Yetzer Hara to steal, et cetera, et cetera. That's one of the reasons for the minhag, actually, of having milchuk on Shavuos, but we'll get to that later. So the Radbaz says an interesting Hara. He says, you know, what in the world was the Havamina? Like, why? Of course, like, the Torah is totally not shaykh to angels, right? Angels don't eat or drink. Torah has the laws of machalos, asuros, and taros. Angels don't plow. The Torah tells you about the laws of Sarisha. Angels don't have poor people. The Torah tells us about every single mitzvah, basically, is not shaykh at all to malachim. Like, what was their Havamina? So the Radva says, really, it's like this. The pshat is that the Torah represents very supernal ideas. And they're translated into the words of the Torah. This relates to what we talked about the week of Lag BaOmer. Remember, we saw the Zohar, and the Zohar talked about how the Torah and the stories of the Torah and the dinim of the Torah are the lavash, are the clothing. The clothing for what? For this deeper idea. And they manifest themselves in the halachos of the Torah, in the stories of the Torah. What the malachim were saying is that if you were to translate the ideas of the Torah into a way that's shaykh to humans, so you're being mevazeh, tachsischa. In other words, you're taking this very, these very elevated ideas and you're translating them into applications which are relevant to humans. And that is, that's a lowering of the Torah. So that's true. Angels are not chaser anything. They're not needy. They're not dependent. It's an interesting thing to talk about. You know, why does Hashem even make angels? What is the purpose? But that's for another time. We are very lowly, you know, relatively speaking. We're needy. We're dependent. We have all sorts of lowly desires. But that's Gufa, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give the Torah to. And as such, we're thanking Hashem for making us needy. There's a pshat that I once heard from Rabbi Kahn, Aaron Kahn. And the pasuk says, we say, Poseach as yadecha, umasbia l'chol chai ratzon. Hashem opens up his hands and he gives everybody their ratzon. So the way usually we think about this is we're thanking Hashem for giving us the things that we want, giving us food, for example. But he said, maybe it means, if we read it a little more literally, we thank Hashem for giving us ratzon. What's ratzon? Ratzon is the desire for things, right? We thank Hashem for wanting. Why are we thanking Hashem for wanting things? The truth is that if you ever meet someone who has no ratzon, so that's they're probably depressed. They have no cheshek. We're motivated by ratzon. We ask, we're thanking Hashem, thank you for giving us ratzon. Thank you for, A, like we're saying in this bracha, making us needy. And because of our neediness, we have to do things to fill those needs. And the question then is, no, how do we fill those needs? We all have this ratzon. Well, how do we fulfill that ratzon? So one way is the wrong way. We have, you know, many people have, they go ahead and let's say they spend a lot of time acquiring things, whatever possessions they have, whatever collections they have, wealth. So the Mesil Zusham talks about it. He says, you'll see that, you know, after they get all the things that they're looking for, they'll still feel empty. Or other people will chase after other types of pleasures. But again, after, you know, you might really be excited about this particular thing, but nobody remembers yesterday's sizzling steak. It's not, you still feel empty. Your taiva, as the Gemara says, Adam, you want a mana and you get it, then, but you want masayim, you're never fulfilled. Why is it that a person's taivos aren't fulfilled? It's because they have this desire and they're really misunderstanding it. It's really not what they're craving, isn't the food, isn't the pleasure, isn't the wealth, isn't the kavod. That's not what they're craving. They think that might be what they're craving. They think that's going to fill that inner emptiness, but it's not. Really, what they're longing for is something more eternal. Human beings have this tremendous spiritual capacity, the possibility of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so we sometimes misunderstand or misinterpret that inner longing, that inner emptiness. And so we run after something else. But when we finally get it, we still feel empty because that's not really what we're lacking. And so what we're doing over here, going back to our bracha, is we're thanking Hashem for filling us with ratzon. Like we said, ratzon is the basis for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people as well. But we're thanking Hashem for making us chaser. And therefore, when Hashem makes us chaser, so then we naturally are looking for more. And in the best possible way, it leads us to a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those are three possible explanations of how to look at the bracha, Brian and Fashos. Each one, like we said, very related to this time of year and very, very profound. It's hard to maybe think about every single one each time, but maybe at different times to think of different ones. It's such a powerful bracha, something to pay closer attention to. Okay, so the other thing I wanted to talk about relates to the bracha of Hamotzi, which is what we talked about last time. It's not about Hamotzi per se, but it's about when you transform bread into other things. So it's called the Sugya of Chavitza. It relates to issues like French toast and matzah brei and the like. We don't have time to go through the whole Gemara. But the upshot of the Gemara, according to Rabbeinu Yonah at least, which is the first source over here in a way we paskin like, is as follows. If you take bread and you break it up into little pieces, you break it up into breadcrumbs, so it does not lose its status of hamotzi. And even though the breadcrumbs are so small that you can't even tell that they came from bread, they have lost their tsuras hapas. It doesn't matter. They're still hamotzi. That's option A. Option B is you take the breadcrumbs and you stick them together with honey or the like. That's what's called the chavitza, according to Rabbeinu Yonah. It's similar to, I don't know, a granola bar, but not made from granola with breadcrumbs. I don't know if I've never seen anyone do this, but if you did that. So then it would depend. If the pieces looked like bread, you could still tell that it was bread as Torah lachem. So then you would still make hamotzi. But if it doesn't, if it's been transformed into something new, this granola bar doesn't look like bread anymore. It looks like a granola bar. So then it would be mizonos. When something is transformed, when something is just broken up, but it doesn't take on a new form, so it retains the original bracha. But once it starts taking on a new form, like the granola bar, then it would be mizonos. Now, what about if you cook the bread? What if you cook the bread? So cooking is automatically transformative. In halacha, we find this in a number of places. Cooking is transformative. And therefore, if you cook the bread, so then it's going to be a mizonos. However, only if the pieces are less than the size of the kezias. If they're more than the size of the kezias, it always remains hamotzi, even if it's cooked. The truth is, it's not just cooking. Toso says it would be true for soaking as well. One of the Rishonim used to give a shiur right after davening. So he was very hungry. So he wanted to eat something before the shiur, but there wasn't enough time to wash and bench. So, this is the invention of cereal, of the quick breakfast. So what did he do? He said he would leave his bread overnight in water till the water turned white, turned into mush, and then he would be able to make a mizonos. So that way he'd be able to eat a little bit before a shiur, have koch to give the shiur. So that was the first example I know of a quick breakfast, having bread mush for breakfast. That's because soaking something is similar to cooking it, as we've seen in other places. Kavush is kemevushel, and therefore, since it's really been transformed, it doesn't seem like bread anymore, it's just mush, then it's going to be mizonos. And anytime you cook something, if you cooked it and it's less than mizonos, that's why we paskin, although the Magen Avraham would not agree to this, we paskin that, let's say, matzah balls are mizonos. because since they're broken up into little pieces and then cooked, so it's going to be a mizono, it's not a motzi. So even if you had matzah meal plain, I guess, then you would make a hamotzi. But once you form it into something else and you cook it, it's going to be a mizonos. Truth is, I guess, even if you didn't cook it, because the pieces are smaller than a kazayas and it doesn't look like matzah anymore. Okay. So what bracha, based off of what we said thus far, would you make on French toast? What do you think?
Hamotzi.
Hamotzi. Why? Because it's bigger than a kazayas. If French toast was smaller than a kazayas, then maybe it would be a mizonos. Certainly if it was cooked. In fact, I know someone who, I don't remember exactly the story. I think it was like the cook in a camp or worked in the kitchen, and they made a French toast, and nobody was washing on it. I'm not sure why, but anyway, they weren't. They weren't making hamotzi, they weren't benching. So he designed a mizonos French toast, and he made the bread into small little strips, smaller than a kazayas, and then he deep fried them so they would be halachically cooked, and sprinkled sugar on them. But typically, French toast will always be a hamotzi. Okay, Liba said, is that true? What does chavitza mean? Okay, a couple of questions. So what chavitza means is actually the part of the debate in Netzugya. What is chavitza talking about? So the way we paskin, chavitza is that funny type of granola bar made out of breadcrumbs, which means to say that you took the breadcrumbs and you glued them together with marak or dvash or the like. That's what chavitza is. Liba's question, is it true then for Hilchos Shabbos too? If you soak beans and they don't reach Machal Ben Drusai Nefari before Shabbos, it's okay. No, it's not. That's a great question, but that's not true. Let's just highlight the point. Yeah. Bishul for Hilchos Shabbos means cooked through fire. For example, is it an Isser D'Oraisa of Bishul to pickle things on Shabbos? The answer is it's not. Might be an Isser D'Rabbanan, and probably that relates more to Ibud. But it's not Usser. There was an Achron that actually, maybe it is Bishul, even if you pickle things, but we don't pass like that. Also for a different reason. Kobish Kvashin. Likewise, so if you pickle something on Shabbos, you're not going to be chayev mishum bishul. Well, what if you take something that's already been pickled and you cook it? So I think this is a very good question, but I'm going to explain why you think your cheshbon is wrong, though I like how you're thinking. Let's say that something is machal ben drusai, and then it's fully cooked. You take machal ben drusai and you fully cook it. Is that mutter on Shabbos or is that aser on Shabbos? The answer is that's aser on Shabbos. The truth is that might be a machlokas whether you're chayv or not between the Rambam and the Rashba. It's certainly aser. Why? Because you've significantly contributed to it. Now taken on, it's still transformed by the fire. And therefore, you're still awesome. Likewise, case, if you your beans, but they were never cooked. So now they're edible. And then you bring them to being fully cooked. So that's if you have cooked Shabbos, that's aser. Here, because anytime you bring something from a state of edible to a state of being fully cooked, we paskin that's aser on Shabbos. So that being the case, it would still be aser. And that's why, I don't know if this is what you had in mind, Liba, but why it's very important. This comes up a lot with Hachlara. The crock pot or something like that, you have to make sure it's fully cooked. And when it comes to beans, you have to but fully cooked. Does that answer your question, Liba?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good. So back to here. Okay. So now let's talk about the question of matzah brei. So what would we think about matzah brei? What bracha should you make on matzah brei?
Usually greater than exias, they would normally say hamotzi, and okay. But it's you're cooking it, so
okay, good. So if you make your matzah brei with pieces of matzah bigger than it would definitely be hamotzi, regardless, because it doesn't matter if it's cooked, like we said, it's bigger than hamotzi. It's always a kezias. I mean, it's always hamotzi. I don't think most people make matzah brei with pieces bigger than a kezias. Most matzah brei that I've seen is always made by the matzah smaller than a kezias. At least the way I've always made matzah, you take the matzah, you crush it up, break it up into small pieces, you soak it a little bit in water, you mix in the eggs, and then you fry it. So that being the case, so the pieces are usually or definitely smaller than a kezias. So they're smaller than a kezias, and then they're cooked. So then the halacha is that it would be a mizonos. So why is it a shayla? The shayla is whether it's actually considered cooked. And that's a shayla about frying. We'll see about that in a moment. What do I mean to say? Halachically, when you cook something in water, that's cooked. If you cook something in oil, like you deep fry it, it's cooked. When it comes to frying, so if you put in no oil, let's say that's not considered cooked, maybe even minimal oil just to prevent it from burning, like a tiny, tiny amount, also that's not considered cooked. Even if it's in a frying pan, it's, you know, it's baked the first time and it's sort of being baked the second time. Wouldn't change the bracha. But when most people fry, they put in more oil than that minimal amount, but it's not deep fried. So there's a shayla. Do we consider frying like cooking or not? There's nafkums in many halacha, and this is one of them. So if we consider frying like cooking, then matzah brei should be a hamotzi. If we see frying as non-cooking, that'd be mizonos. That's one question. We'll see, though, there's another fact. Let me take your question. So, Shandy, go ahead.
when we say a kezias, sorry, you can hear me. When we say a kezias, do we have to be machmer for like a large or small shear for a kezias?
Yeah, that's a great question. There is a fair amount of suffix as to how big a kezias is. So one would certainly have to take that into account. But again, the way I think I make matzah brei, or I've seen most matzah breis, is the pieces are broken up into a smaller piece than even a kezias. But you're right. That's another factor. Now, there's another question here. Now, we still haven't seen the answer yet. We're going to read something from the Aruch HaShulchan and something from the Chazon Ish that say opposite things, and then we'll see, is it a machlokas or not? But the other question is, let's say you make the matzah brei into a pancake in the pan, not scrambled. I don't know what that means, into a pancake.
Like it's, like the pieces are all together and like in the end, they're not like separate.
Yeah, no. I don't think it matters, because if the pieces of matzah were broken, started off as smaller than a kezias, then assuming we treat frying like cooking, it would definitely be a mizonos. So I don't think it matters if they're separate or not. Okay. So let's take a look at two sources that discuss matzah brei. The first is the Aruch HaShulchan, and then the Chazon Ish. This is about halfway down a little more than halfway down in the Mechaberos, or it says Archa Shulchan. We'll start from the beginning of Sif Lamed Zion. Okay, this is a rejection of the chazan of the Magen Avraham. We don't have to do that. Fine. The Chodvar Shmuel, da 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 da. The Chain. So, I guess we'll just read this. The Chodvar of Timuim, the Zeshakasav imacharkach nidbeku yachad mikri perurim sheish ben kazais eino kain. So there is a view that says that if you took matzah meal and then you sort of reformulate it using into something like a canado, like a matzah ball, and then you fried it or something, it would be hamotzi. And he says that's not true, because since it was broken down into pieces smaller than a kazayis beforehand, it doesn't become a hamotzi when it's reconstituted. Fine. So then he writes, this is where it's bolded. V'chein taigichts she'osim bePesach mimatzah shvur l'shvarim ketanim she'ein b'chol echad me'ashvarim kizayis. So this is matzah brei. They take pieces of matzah, and all the pieces of matzah have less than a kizayis. U'me'arvim b'hem beitzim, and you mix eggs in with them, v'shuman and fat, oil, v'charkach metagnim osam, and then you fry them. The tzur sapas has certainly been lost from them. Hadavar pashut shemivarchan alav mizonos. It's pashut that you make a mizonos a matzah brei. The chaimin of olam the ein shem chashash bezek klal uklal. There's nothing to worry about. So the Archa Shulchan says, you know what? The reason why this can be mizonos is assuming that frying is like cooking. And therefore, does matzah brei look like bread? Does it look like matzah? It doesn't. So therefore, for sure, matzah brei is a mizonos. Says the Chazon Ish in the next source, Zeh din bishul. He's conceding that maybe frying has a din of bishul for this purpose. V'mnitgan afilu ein kazayis v'yesh bo teresa dinam atzach tistam because mazon. But let's say like this. We're going to go ahead. Remember, the middle step was chavitza. We had three categories. Category one was the breadcrumbs. Those are always hamotzi. Category three is cook. And those, if they're less than kazayis, always mizonos. The middle category is going to depend on whether it looks like bread or not. So here, where it's fried, it's going to be like the middle category. And so what's going on is like this. Does the matzah look like bread or not? So Archa Shulchan said the matzah definitely doesn't look like bread, so therefore it's going to be mizonos. He says, no, if it looks like bread, it's going to be hamotzi. Vilkach matzah shenitgana matzah that is fried. V'chein ha'menichem perure. I think it should say matzah b'machvas hadagim. She'esh landin tigun. Shechon tzil sedam v'kas ha'mazon b'kzayis. Avshe prusas prusos mi'kzayis. Kevin she'esh landin tuisa dinama. So matzah brei is hamotzi, even though the pieces are less than a kazayis. Why? Because it looks like bread, and it's not considered fried. It's not considered cooked because it's fried. So the question is, when you have this machlokas, are they arguing about din, or are they arguing about mitzias? What do I mean to say? The Chazon Ish said, for sure, it's mizonos. It's hamotzi because it looks like bread. Archa Shulchan says it's mizono because it doesn't look like bread. So are they arguing about the definition of what we mean by Teresa Dinama? Like, how do you define looking like bread? Or perhaps the recipe that the Archa Shulchan used was different than the recipe that the Chazon Ish was used to. It's hard to know, but when I did a internet search for matzah brei, I was curious how do people make them. Like, maybe I'm not the only one who makes it. People make it differently. So I looked at all the different pictures of matzah brei. And Taka, some half the pictures of matzah brei, you could tell clearly that this looks like matzah. Okay, there's some eggs mixed in, it's fried matzah, but it still it looks like bread. And the other half of the pictures, like matzah brei, looks more like scrambled eggs with some matzah mixed in. So if it's scrambled eggs with the matzah mixed in, it's going to be mizonos. Even if, as long as it's less than a kezayis, even if you don't consider frying like cooking, because so it'll be like the case of marak or dvash. It's going to be the middle category. Middle category, if it doesn't look like bread, it's mizonos. And in half the recipes, I don't know half, but some of them, the matzah bread, you see like little pieces of matzah, and it's clearly recognizable. It looks, the eggs mixed in, but you could clearly tell. In that case, then what the Chazon Ish says makes more sense. So it makes a little bit, probably makes a big difference how you make your matzah bray, and there are different ways of making it. So when I have my, I don't eat matzah bray very often, but I'm always a little bit unsure. So I just wash on the, something else on the matzah. But really, if you it would seem to me that if you make matzah bray, which really doesn't look at all like you, it doesn't look like bread at all, and the pieces are less than a kezayis, so then it would be a mizonos. Pieces are bigger than a kezayis, it's certainly hamotzi. And if you're unsure if it has tsuras ha-pas, if it looks like bread or not, so then maybe better to wash on something else. All right. Have a good night. Everyone should have a good yantif. And Bez Hashem, we'll pick up next week. Yes, Shandy.
Sorry, can I just ask a quick question?
Sure.
What about baking, like matzah meal cookies or croutons or something?
Yeah, same thing. Those are mizonos because they're less than a kezayis and it doesn't have tsuras hapas, even if you reconstitute them. It's actually an interesting shiloh. What if you mamish turn them into bread? I wasn't going to talk about this much, but if you look earlier in the previous source before the Aruch HaShulchan, there's a Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura talks about four different levels. He says, the first one, he says, this is Askamas Harbi Akmanim. Dimbishla Mekderek Melknedlach Otigna B'machvas B'mashka. So if you boil the matzah balls or you deep fry the matzah balls, Afal Pish V'chol Echaz Kazai Fiyotzer, the Brachas Marim Mizonos, fine. And that's what we do. So matzah balls, Mizonos. Im Givlon B'shemen V'afan V'lo Bishlon. So let's say you kneaded them with oil and you baked them, but you didn't cook them. Better to avoid eating them in the meal. Now, what would that mean? That means that this is, they were baked, and they're baked not into like a cookie, but they're sort of baked into something like bread. In other words, the matzah, they're made from matzah meal, but they make rolls, let's say. I've never had these before, but people tell me that these things exist. So you make rolls out of matzah meal. If it was made out of flour, it would be hamotzi. But now it's made out of matzah meal. So this is a shaila. It's interesting. Why wouldn't it be hamotzi? We don't have time to get into that now. But the Mishnah Berurah says those, it's a suffix. So eat them. Don't eat them without a suda. Then he says, what about if you, what I said is wrong. If you used some oil, but you didn't use a lot of oil, that's when you have this suffix. Then category three is you put like a lot of oil or honey or the like, it's sort of like a cookie, right? Then you would make a mizonos. And then the fourth category is you didn't use any oil at all. So then it would be like bread. So if you have matzah meal without, like you mix matzah meal with water and then you bake it, that's going to be hamotzi. If you make matzah meal cookies, that's mizonos. If you make matzah meal like a roll where you have some other ingredients like some oil or maybe some sugar or the like, but it's not like a cake, that's a suffix. And if you cook it, like the knedelach, then it's mizonos. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah paskens. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So we got from Shavuos to Pesach. Have a good night.
Have a good night. Have a good yantif.
Good yantif.